Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Once again, it's time to kick off your boots and sit back on the ranch with MakingEight.com. Good afternoon, rodeo fans. Welcome. It's going to be a great show here tonight. We have been away for way too long. It's been a couple weeks here. We've been talking a lot about some of the things we were going to be out doing, and we actually got to get out and do some of those things. We did not get to do some of the videoing, and we had some technical difficulties, but hey, such is the life when you're talking about the internet and talking about technology. So, you know what? We're going to keep on rolling on. We're going to keep on doing what we do. We had such a great time. Just got back from Graham, Texas here last week. Had a really good time out there. Met some really good guys, and we look forward to moving on here. So, without further ado, we're going to get right into our show here. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the guys that were just out at Pendleton celebrating their 100th anniversary of the Pendleton Roundup. We got some good insight guys out there, some guys that were kind of scoping things out, doing some PR work, and, making a name for themselves. But you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, some of these guys, they don't need to make a name for themselves. They've already etched their names in stones. So we're going to go ahead and bring them in and talk a little bit about them and just see what they're up to right now. So our first caller tonight is going to be one of the guys from Idaho. If you've been out west, you've been around rodeo for any period of time, you know this guy. He's a two-time barrel man. We're talking about Donnie Landis. So, Donnie, how you doing?
How are you? Everything's great here. Just looking outside, checking everything out. Got great weather. And having a great day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can't argue that, man. I'll tell you. First off, welcome back on the ranch, man. It is a pleasure to have you on the show. We've seen a lot about you, seen you getting out there and hitting these rodeos and all. And, it's the first time we've had an opportunity to have you out here on the ranch with us, and we sure are glad for that.
No, it's a great opportunity for me to talk on the blog deal like this and let people know what's happened to Donnie Landis over the years. I feel it's a great honor to be here on your show. It's just going to be a fantastic deal. I kind of like this.
Yeah, well, I gotta tell you, Donnie, there's been some things you and I talked about earlier today. Spent a lot of time inside of a barrel, and then got to a point where you actually struggled a little bit and decided that you were going to hang it up a little bit, but then turned around and got back into it, and now you're getting back out in those barrels again. Tell us a little bit about where you've been here recently, and then we'll go back kind of talk a little bit about, some of the things that you've been doing it previous.
Okay, well, actually, I worked the National Finals Rodeo in 93-95. I was the alternate barrel man in 97. I started raising the miniature buck and bulls. I was one of the very first producers that ever had those. I kind of got them things going. The same year that happened, I got married. The great woman I married had four kids, so I became a father and a big rancher. I didn't have any property. I'll never do that again. That was quite a deal. We started actually a big feedlot is basically what it was. We was only on 2.5-3 acres there in California. I had 100 head of bulls, and I jumped in. That's kind of how I've always been. You know, I jumped in and actually went bull broke. Was working the finals there for a while. Tried to ride out my career as far as my name. You know, I was going down the road thinking, hey, I'm Donnie Landis. I'm invincible. I can do anything. Well, I forgot the work ethics it took me to get there. So I kind of had to sit back and just step away from it for a few years. I was still working the bigger buildings. I ended up getting to where I was weighing 235, 240 pounds. Everybody thought, well, you know, you're getting old and fat and, you know, you've been around forever. Maybe it's time you quit. I started driving truck a little bit. I didn't care for that. I came home one day. I told my wife, I said, you know what, I got to go back to doing something I love, and that's rodeo, and I'm going to work my tail off for it. And actually, the first day I looked at her, we had a stationary bike here at the house. I told her, I said, I'm going to ride that bike 5 minutes every day. Well, I'll be darned if I didn't get on it for 45 seconds. Ran out of air. I'd actually was inspired by a great bullfighter by the name of Paul Bonds. Paul, he's one of those crosstown bike racers, and I'd heard him say to a guy that he rides 600, 700, 800 miles a week, and I thought, you know what, that kind of gives me something to shoot for. As far as exercising, that'd be a great thing to do, and not this summer, but last summer. It took me a year and a half to get up to there, but I went 120 miles one day. It took me 9 hours, 45 minutes, not no bike racing speed or anything, but I felt it was a great accomplishment, so I got down to be about 170, 175. I'm fit. I just love bull riding. Like to move that barrel in there, like to save them cowboys so they can get down the road. I like to make checks, meet new people, and have a great life.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, man, I got one of them stationary barrels too, you know, but stationary bikes, but darn thing, man, I can't get it to turn a wheel, so I guess we're just going to leave it parked for a while.
Yeah. No, a guy's got to get out there. He's got to get motivated. And when I heard that young man say that he rode that far, I've got one bum knee, and so jogging, and that was kind of out of the question. Now I jog on the treadmill. I'll jog about 3 miles every day. I'll get on the elliptical now. My workout yesterday was a mile and a half on the elliptical, and then I rode the stationary bike for 20 miles in an hour.
Wow.
I'll start picking that up. I'll get it to where I'm going 25 miles an hour, three miles on the elliptical, and 3 to 5 miles jogging every day.
Wow. I'll tell you what,
Reg, go ahead.
That's one heck of a workout right there, buddy. I got to tell you, man, I have hard enough time getting off the couch. That takes a lot of heart and a lot of try.
Yeah. Well, I did too, but you know, a guy's got to stay fit in this game. It, you know how it is. I mean, it's a rough game. If you're not somewhat of a great athlete or any type of athlete in this sport, your career is not, your longevity isn't that of what a guy would want. And I was fortunate enough that the years that I slowed down and stepped away from the game, I was saving myself for these later years. My dad always preached to me about the sport because he went full bore at it, and of course, by the time he was in his 40s, he was done.
Wow.
I just turned 50 this summer. I fought bulls the pro rodeo last year. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm still active as a bullfighter. That's one thing that a lot of the barrel men aren't too much of, you know, as far as their capabilities, and that's something I kind of look at. I'm not only out there to entertain the crowd and make everybody laugh and smile. I feel obligated that there's two, maybe three bullfighters at a rodeo or bull riding, and you know, anywhere from 15 to 45 bull riders I got to look out for. So,
sure.
You know, that's kind of how I look at the game, and I knew that not being fit, you know, I'm not as great as an asset for those guys as if I am fit.
Right.
You know, it was hard to throw the Snickers bars and stuff away, and the chocolate ice cream and stuff. For, you know, I threw that stuff away literally for a year and a half. I didn't have a soda. I've quit chewing. After the Pendleton Roundup this weekend, I think I quit drinking Pendleton whiskey. But a guy's got to watch out for himself, and you know, we still all got to have a little bit of fun, but a guy's really got to bear down. I took 4 months basically off at the gym, but it was my heavy time of year. So I'm essentially doing stuff every weekend, the rodeos, bull ridings, and that. When I came home the other day from Pendleton, I told the wife, I said, well, here we go again, back at it for 8 months. Last year I started in September, went to the gym all the way through April, and then, of course, May, June, July, August, I was, you know, very, very busy and didn't want to mess up too much as far as I did take my bike with me, and when I got to a venue, I'd park my rig, I'd get on my bike, I'd ride it to the store if I wanted anything or needed milk or anything like that. So I was saving on fuel and getting myself in shape.
Right on, right on. Now, let me ask you something, Donnie. As a barrel man, you know, can you really make a living week in and week out by getting out there and hitting enough rodeos? I mean, are there enough rodeos for you to get out there, too, and make a living at it?
Oh, far more than enough, for one. one of my best years, I've made up to $100,000.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many performances I did that year, but I was like at Houston, I was at Fort Worth, I was at Calgary, I was at Reno, I was at, you know, so forth and so on, a lot of multiple performance rodeos that year, which, you know, was very beneficial. But, yeah, I mean, that's all I've done except for the few years I drove truck.
Okay.
I live with Teddy Neuse. Your Teddy Neuse won the world in the bull riding. I was actually working back then and bulls. And Teddy told me that I really needed to focus on one thing. And so I thought, well, you know, I'd rather focus on being a rodeo clown than, you know, working on a loading dock or driving truck or laying carpet. So
right.
I just went ahead and I quit working. Well, that's when I started inspiring myself and everything to get out there and do a little bit more. And it's helped. Yeah, a guy can make a living. Not everybody can, and for so many different reasons. You know, it takes a special person to essentially live on the road. You know, you're an entertainer. You got to put yourself in that entertaining mode. You're going from town to town, busting your tail overnight, making it from one venue to another, trying to think of new material, writing down new stuff, trying new stuff, building new acts. It's things like that that'll you know, kind of wear on a guy. But as far as making a living, what you make of it, you know. And these last 2-3 years, I mean, I've been kicking some butt. I've been doing very good financially, and you know, I hope to do a little bit better, but that's not really why I'm out there. You know, a lot of people say, well, you're looking for, you know, this or that or whatever, you want to be number one. Well, I don't want to be number one. I want to be one of the greatest. And when I say that, you know, I'm willing to share it. I don't want to be, I'd like to think I was some kind of superhero, comedian, super bullfighter, barrel man extraordinaire. But essentially, there's a lot of guys out there that have been in the past, that will be in the future, that are living today, that, you know, I just want to be known as one of the greats.
Right, right. Makes sense, man. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good goal. Now, how many, since you've been back, how many events do you usually have in a year? I mean, what's it going to take for you to get out there and really make a good living at it, support your family?
Well, I don't know. You know, it depends on what venues the guy's going to. This year, I probably looked at close to 35 to 38 venues. I started New Year's Eve. I went darn near every weekend through Labor Day.
Okay.
Now, I've had a couple weeks off, and I've got a few more venues coming up, hopefully the finals. And then come around New Year's Eve, bam, we start again at another New Year's Eve bull riding or a rough stock event. And then I've worked the Super Bowls. I've worked the PBRs. The last 8-10 years, I've been fortunate enough to work anywhere from a half dozen to over a dozen of the bigger building venues in the wintertime. So that helps me out in the wintertime. It's great to go back east and live in that cold weather for a while, other than here at home.
I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what, if you ever make your way down, you got to come down there to the Sunshine State, man. Come enjoy those winters. Be a snowbirder.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, I worked a PBR in Jacksonville a few years ago, and the people down there, it was phenomenal. I think we had like 16,000 down there.
Was that back in 2005?
No, this was actually just not this last winter, but the winter before, and it was more of a in the spring event. It might have been like the first weekend of April or so.
Oh, I got you. Okay, all right. Yeah, I got a buddy of mine, old Brian Corson, lives down the road from me down there. We go out and ride horses. He won that Jacksonville event down there in 2005.
Oh, I see. No, them people love bull riding down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I wish we'd get some more of it down there. You know, we've got some great stock down here. We got some great bullfighters to head on down. Of course, we got Ross Hill. He's been coming down here a lot. And, you know, we've even had some good announcers down here. Now, don't tell him. I don't think he's on the air yet. But good old Rob Smets, man, that guy there, he's been getting down here in the Sunshine State. I think he's looking for a retirement home, though, is what I was thinking.
Well, you know, as old as he's getting, he needs to look for that retirement home.
He sure does. It's a good thing, actually. He's not on the air with us just yet, but because I tell
no,
you,
no, because I'm not very.
Me.
I'm not very far behind him. Rob's just a year older than me, so.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Donnie. You know, like I said, man, those are some great dreams, and it's really interesting to come back. You know, I mean, when was it that you decided you were going to hang it up?
Well, I started really slowing down right around 2000, 2002. I worked Pocatello in 2002. My dad had passed away. I really tried hard to get the NFR that year. Actually, my dad had passed away the 1st of March, and I had two pro rodeos. I had Pocatello and Valley City, North Dakota, to work 2 days after he passed, and I knew that he'd want me to kind of just roll on. Well, I did, and I just felt that with the hardships I'd went through that year, I blew a knee out at a pro rodeo in Montana fighting bulls, and I just kept bearing down and gritting my teeth and going on with it. The year didn't quite end up the way that I wanted it to. I was trying to keep the little bulls going in that. I had some kids that were going into high school at that time. I was trying to look out for them and pave kind of a better route for them to go. We were thinking about moving at that time, and I bit off way more than I can chew all at once, and finally I guess you could say I've spit a little bit of it out, or it's moved on.
Right.
Things are better now. All the kids are gone. They're in college, pursuing their dreams. My bull business, there's enough people out there with the mini bulls now. There's enough youth, you know, getting started in other places that might not have been had I not started. You know, who knows to say there. But I seen that starting to grow, and I thought, you know what, I just need to make a comeback. You know, it's time to make a comeback, and you know, a guy only lives once, so.
I heard that, man. Well, hey, listen, what do you say we take a short break here? When we come back, we're going to just go ahead and kick in a song, but we want to give out the phone number. If you guys want to talk with Donnie Landis here, if you want to talk to myself, you know, we'll sit back on the ranch here and talk some rodeo with you. The number is 646-915-9940. And, Donnie, we're going to take a short break, man. When we come back, we'll see if we can get some callers on the line. What do you say?
Oh, good deal.
All right. Y'all listen to MakingAid.com. We are back on the ranch. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Who's once a bull-hooking son of a gun? Now who keeps a pike? Get out behind, shoot number one. Who was riding high till a pretty girl rode him to the ground? Any kid knows where to find me.
I'm Bandy the rodeo clown. In the riding and the roping, I was closing in on number one. Now in dreams at night I ride on that silver saddle I never won. Since she left me the whiskey, takes me to the rodeo grounds, where the cowboys think I'm handy. I'm Bandy the rodeo clown. I could ride them all, the bulls and the bronc knew I was boss, but the ride that woman took me on broke a whole lot more than this old cowboy's bones. While the tears on my makeup melts my painted smile into a frown, the crowd thinks I'm a dandy. I'm Bandy the rodeo clown. I could ride them all, the bulls and the bronc knew I was boss, but the ride that woman took me on more than this old cowboy's bones. While the tears on my makeup melts my painted smile into a frown, the crowd thinks I'm a dandy. I'm Bandy the rodeo clown.
Hi, this is world champion Rob Smets, and whether you're riding a bronc or roping a steer, you need boots you can count on. Only Ariat boots provide you the support, stability, and comfort you can rely on day in and day out. Ariat's four levels of technology allow you to pick the boot that gives you the maximum support for your best performance. And the variety of styles, colors, and premium leathers lets you pick a boot that suits your personal style. When your performance needs to be top-notch, be sure you're wearing Ariat, the brand that'll keep you on your feet when the going gets tough. Visit a store near you and try Ariat boots today to experience the difference.
All right, welcome back. Making8.com, you're listening to us back on the ranch. Joining me tonight is one of the legends in the sport, I guess you could say. This guy's been around and been inside and outside of a barrel. Knows his way around it, that's for sure. And we're talking about Donnie Landis. So Donnie, welcome back here. Want to thank you, like I said, want to give out this call-in number one more time, 646-915-9940. If you want to give us a shout, sit back on the ranch with myself and Donnie Landis. Give us a call. Make sure to press the one button so we know that you're there. All right, Donnie. So,
yes, sir.
I think we got a caller on the line, man. Yeah, this next guy I think might know a thing or two about being around a barrel. I don't think you could get him in a barrel. If you could get him in the barrel, I don't think you could get him out of the barrel. And we're talking about a guy that most folks know pretty well. We're talking about Mr. Rob Smets. Hello, Rob. You with us?
Huh? I can get in and I can get out of it.
I hear you, Rob. Well, we got Donnie Landis on the line there with us, Rob. I know you guys are old friends there, man. Say hey.
Mr. Messing. Hello, Donnie. How you doing, amigo?
Hey, great. How are you, Kamikaze?
I'm good, bro. Mr. Messing.
Right on.
Just to clear the air. I've been in the barrel and worked the barrel with Crooked Nose, so don't tell me about getting in or getting out.
I don't doubt that, Rob. You know, you've done a little bit of everything out there, but we were kind of talking about you here a little bit a while back ago, and I'm glad that you weren't on the air with us, so we're just going to bypass that. But anyways, how are you doing, Mr. Smets?
I'm good. Somebody's got to work around here. I just got in.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, I know you just got back from Pendleton, man. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, to be at the 100th Centennial Rodeo of the Pendleton Roundup was just fascinating. It was a heck of a deal. A town of 17,000. They had over 100,000 people there for the weekend. Donnie was there. I saw Donnie. I saw Timber. You know, saw a lot of old friends, the Johansons from up in Canada, and I saw good old friends. I even saw some guys I didn't even care for. So it was a good time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, now what did you think of the event itself, man? Was it pretty good?
It was Pendleton, one thing about Pendleton, it's a first class outfit.
I hear you there. Well, I know that they're winding down there towards the NFR coming up, man. The season's about ready to get cut off. What do you think about some of those guys? Do you see a lot of the top athletes there?
Well, they had an increase of over 200 entries from last year to this year for the 100th annual.
Wow.
Which increased the prize money by like $150,000.
Ooh, some good money to be won. Yeah, I know it was over $500,000 in earnings out there that weekend.
There, you know, everybody from vintage greats of H.P. Evitts to the current guns of, you know, Cody Wright, Taos Muncy, J.W. Harris. My biggest hats off would be to Chad Masters and Jake Corkle for winning the 100th annual and the team roping. And they also, this year was the 100th annual for the Salinas Rodeo, and they won it also.
Wow. Good deal. Well,
yeah,
now,
I was glad
you
got me some of that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, you want to talk about something to be able to be proud of. You go to two rodeos, and it's their 100th year, and as Donnie and I both know, it's two of the greatest rodeos you could ever want to work. And to say that you beat the best in the world, because, like I said, they were up over 200 entries this year. Team roping, you know, there was 150 teams in the team roping.
Wow.
And, you know, two head in the short round. And at Salinas, it's four head in the short round. And for those guys to accomplish that feat against the best in the world, plus everybody that thinks they can rope that's entered, that's got a PRCA card, you know, everybody was there.
Right.
That it says a lot. Hats off to them.
Absolutely. Now you are actually doing the commentary on the In Country Television Network, correct?
No, I was actually doing commentary for Fox Sports.
Oh, for Fox Sports. Moving up in the world there, are you?
Yeah. So it'll be on that Saturday of October the 3rd, at, like, I believe 10 a.m. You'll just have to check for local listings, but it'll be for 13 weeks on Fox Sports every Saturday.
Okay. Good deal. Well, I'll tell you what. Hopefully they had enough makeup for you out there to kind of make you look a little younger, didn't they?
What's that?
I said hopefully they had enough makeup out there to make you look a little younger, didn't they?
No, they needed somebody that was intelligent enough to know about it.
Oh.
Hey, that would have been me. Like when we was kids, I used to put your makeup on for you.
That's true. obviously, they need somebody with more knowledge than the guy in Florida.
Oh, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. But at your age, you have been down that road. I will give you that.
That's it. You know what, Messick? With a little luck, you'll live long enough to have got to my age and been there and done that.
Yes, sir, and I plan on it.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but you're not that old. I mean, come on, shoot, I'm still in the end of my prime.
That's it right there. And you know what? All I can say to our man in Florida is talk's cheap. Get there.
That's right. There is no love lost between Rob Spence and I, that's for sure. But I'll tell you what, man. Well, I'm really glad you had an opportunity to jump on with us, Rob. Where are you up next?
I will be off to Anadarko, Oklahoma, Maury Tate, Saturday and Sunday, Slacks on Friday, and that's where I'm going next.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. You got plans to be out in Vegas again this year for the NFR or no?
Oh, I'll be out there for some of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, hopefully we'll get out that way ourselves. We'll look forward to seeing you again, Rob.
It'll be fun. It always is. When you get the best of the best, you can't beat it.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And Donnie Landis knows, you know, that he's been there himself. He knows what it's like to be out there, correct?
Oh, man, that is correct. I tell you what, I just can't wait to go back. That's what my deal is. It's all about working that big building. I love it, that blue and that yellow, that crowd, the top 15 bull riders in the world, some of the best bucking bulls. And have I got a few things up my sleeve for when I get back in that building.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Well, hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and, you know, let y'all carry on with your day. I know, Donnie, you probably got a wife sitting back there behind you waiting to go get something to eat for dinner there, and I certainly don't want to hold you up.
Yeah, no, it's 2-for-1 Mexican night here in Gooding, Idaho, and we're going to go out and just let her roll a little bit, eat some chips and salsa. Yeah.
There you go.
That'll be good, man.
Hey, now, Donnie, are you going to put it on your bicycle and ride out there or what?
You know, I would, but my wife got tired riding on the handlebars, so we'll probably just take the pickup down there.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, hey, listen, it has been a pleasure, and we look forward to getting you back on the ranch here with us again.
Hey, I look forward to it. I hope everybody has a great day. I was glad to hear from Rob on there. This is a fantastic deal, and it's just great to be here.
Yes, sir. Well, we look forward to having you back for sure.
Doc,
cool deal.
Care.
Thanks. Hey, you take care too, Rob.
All right, bro. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
All right there, Rob. Well, I got to tell you, man, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show with us. And, you know, we still got to work on that morning coffee, man. I get emails here every now and again, people asking about it. So let's see if we can't sit down. As soon as we get some time here, maybe towards the end of the season, you know, when the rodeo season kind of winds down. But I know you got you're looking to book now some deals for 2011 already. Is that correct?
Yeah, things have been rolling pretty good. I've got some events still going, and I'm booked all the way into November at the moment, which is a blessing.
Great deal, man. Great deal. So, any plans on coming back to Florida here soon?
Not soon, but I'm coming back to Florida.
Good deal. Good deal. Can't wait to get you back here, man. That's what I was teasing old Donnie. I said, yeah, you know, as much time as you spent down here, I think you're looking for a retirement home.
There you go.
There's no doubt, man.
Down there, I don't mind it a bit.
That's right. We'll go out and play some golf there. What do you think?
Okay. Just thing to beat you at.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. All right. Well, that sounds like a challenge to me, Mr. Rob. I'll make sure to bring my clubs when I head back out to Texas.
All right, bro.
All right. You take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Have a blessed night.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, 646-915-9940. We've actually got some callers on the line. We're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we're going to get in and talk a little bit about some bull riding. We had a bull riding, a bullfighting school that just happened in Graham, Texas. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Take your call. So y'all stay tuned. You're listening to MakingEight.com. We're back on the ranch.
the fields are getting higher everywhere that I go. When it's all that you know, what else can you do? Just keep heading with the steel, kicking holes in the bowl. Or I ain't gonna be an Amarillo by morning, and I won't be in San Antonio. Heading to Del Rio by Friday morning, and all my worries will be gone. Go ahead, boy, sit up and ride, brain. Go ahead, boy, stick your money in the bank. Go ahead, boy, show the world what you think. Now that's how you do the bullhead thing. Settle down aboard about 1,800 pounds. The man decided to do a little ball. Drop your feet, keep your seat. Let's go for a ride, slide, drive, sit him out. Sleeves is not too many miles between. Running hard for the buckle and a little bit of green. I don't mess with the stuff, got my head on right. I'll have a check in my hand by the end of the night. Try and count me out, but I'm always in. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of how much I win. Being thrown off balance with all these heavy pockets. Being this damn good got me feeling real cautious. Well, I ain't gonna be an Amarillo by morning, and I won't be in San Antonio.
Somewhere this weekend, you can bet on it. Making8.com, we're sitting back on the ranch, and we're about ready to kick off, talk a little bit about some the schools that we were just out at. We had a fantastic time. You know, we rounded up some of these Florida Cowboys and even brought one down from North Carolina, believe it or not, and hauled them out there to Texas and let them get out there and get a chance. You know, some of them stepped in front of them. Some of them actually got on them. But they rode some wild bulls down there. And first off, got to thank the hospitality that we had down there in Graham, Texas. It was a great, great time. You know, really just real hospitable. You know, those folks really took care of us down there, and we certainly appreciate it. From the Florida Cowboys, sending our love out there, we definitely appreciate all that you did for us out there, and we look forward to getting back. But got to tell you, the stock out there was top-notch. And these Cowboys had their hands full. There's no doubt about it. But we're going to get in and talk to the girl that made the whole thing happen. This young cowgirl that we've been talking with here for the last couple months has done a great job working with Gary LaFue and Steve Wangler and Jay Brewer putting on these deals. And we're talking about Miss Echo Sharkey. Good afternoon, Echo.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm great now that you called me young.
Well,
love
you
that.
Know, I got to try to butter up to you and do something to get you to call me more often. You know, it seems like we ain't talked since the day of the final day of the school there.
I know. I've been busy, though. We're busy.
I understand. Well, just how busy are you? I think that there's some more things in the works that you have coming up. Tell us about them.
Yeah, actually, we just got done nailing down the dates for a school in Oklahoma in January. We're going to be doing a school January 14th through the 16th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. at the Rock and DJ Sports Arena in Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Great, great.
And I've already got 7 students signed up, and we just announced the dates, so sounds like it's going to fill up fast.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that really is, man. That's a great deal. Now, they all having the bullfighting and the bull riding?
Yeah, actually, I still am trying to verify with Steve and Jay that they can both be there before I say for sure.
Right.
I hope so. I can't imagine doing a school without those guys, so I hope they can do it. If not, we'll definitely bring someone else in.
Yeah.
But
well,
yes,
I'll tell you what.
Bullfighting.
You know, we got an opportunity to see Jay and Steve out there and Graham, and you talk about some top-hand guys. They are some great instructors. You know, we actually had an opportunity to talk with some of the students out there, and that was one thing that they really pointed out is, you know, it's one thing to be a really good bullfighter. It's another thing to be a really good bullfighter and an instructor and be able to teach people the sport. Those two guys have what it takes. There's no doubt. I mean, they pushed the students and gave them, you know, just when those students thought that they didn't have enough to give, they couldn't give any more, Jay and Steve pulled it out of them, and they really come out of there so much better bullfighters because of that. It's real impressive to watch.
Yeah, I can sit here and say it, you know, 100 times, but the results speak for themselves. And I've talked to some of the students that were there, too, and said the same thing, that they wouldn't recommend any other school for a bullfighter to go to. So, you know, there's a kid from South Dakota that came to the school in Nebraska the year before last, first experience as a bullfighter, and he is this weekend fighting the NDRT finals up here in South Dakota, Northern Bull Riders Tour.
Well,
yeah.
I know that we've got some plans. You and I are going to be sitting down. We're going to be trying to get the guru himself down here to the Sunshine State. You know, Gary, you know, he talked to us a little bit, said he wanted me to take him out surfing down here. Now, I can't figure that out. The guy lives in California, but he wants to come to Florida to go surfing. I don't know. It's beyond me. But I'm going to tell you what, that guy is such a character. We had a great time with both him and Cody Custer. You know, you talk about just an inspiration. I mean, he even had me on the drop barrel out there, and I'm going to tell you, Echo, I mean, I was feeling it. I mean, this guy here knows what it takes to really teach these guys. And, you know, we're going to see if we can't get some of these young students, you know, out there to Oklahoma for you as well.
That would be great.
Yeah, we certainly love
Gary,
it. But go ahead.
I was going to say, Gary's, you can't be around him and not feel energized after you're around him for a little while. I'm actually really sad I didn't get to come down there, so.
Yeah, well, we definitely missed you, you know, but we did. We really had a good time, and you're right, just that energy that radiates off of him, you know. I think everybody felt it, including the bullfighters and everybody that was just around him, you know. The other guys that were out there, the parents even, you know, just really fell in love with Gary. He's just a stand-up guy, and we certainly had a great time with him. But you know what? We've actually got 2 of those students on the line right now with us. So what do you say we jump on and bring them on the show with us?
Sounds good to me.
All right. This first guy we're going to bring in, he's been on the show. We can't kick this guy out. I'm telling you, no matter what, he keeps coming back for more. We're talking about the young cowboy from Oklahoma. He likes to go by Okie Outlaw. I don't know, man. I'm trying to remember the name that we had called him. Squeak, I think, was the name of it. So, Squeak, you're back on the ranch with us.
Hey, that Okie Outlaw is not my choice either.
Well, I like Squeak better, man. It seems to fit you out there.
Yeah. How you guys
Hi,
doing? Hey, Echo.
I'll be nice to you.
You know, it's not that he can't get rid of me. It's that I can't get rid of him. That's what the problem is.
Is that right? Now, wait a second, Jay. Now,
kidding, Scott.
You know that you had a great time hauling out there to Texas with a bunch of us Florida Cowboys.
Man, it was great. The school was great. The trip was great. I had a blast. And, you know, about Steve and Jay, I don't know if there could be any better instructors out there. Like, I like to think that I don't have any limits, but I was proven, like they proved that to me. You know, just push you beyond what you think you can possibly do. And it was awesome. I loved it.
Now, Jay, on day two, you guys, they actually had a, like, I guess some of them were some half-bred with some Mexicans, correct?
Yeah, they were, from what I heard and what Anthony had told me, they were smoke-em babies.
Okay.
So, yeah, out of half-Mexicans.
They were pretty hot. They were
fun.
I think every one of them out there were pretty daggone hot, you know?
Oh, it was
and
a blast. Cowboy and go to freestyling. It was great.
But I can remember being up in the crow's nest and looking down and seeing you, and you said, man, you know, you were catching wind, man, and you just took a shot, and you were like, man, I don't have anything left for him. And I believe it was Steve that turned around and told you to get back in there. Boy, you turned around and get out there and made a good turn with him and just, you know, put yourself right back in position to be where you needed to and did a fantastic job all weekend, man. It was real impressive to watch. And heart came out, you know. It did. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that bull you're talking about is the one that got me my nickname, you know.
Squeak.
I saw what was about to happen, and I think all the air inside of me did too, and that squeak was all of it leaving.
Yeah.
Before he smoked me there. But I always like to go back to a bull after I get hooked just because I don't want him thinking he got the better of me. But in that instance, I mean, we had fought him for I don't know how long and then got the air knocked out of me on top of that. My legs were gone and everything. And, yeah, Steve definitely gave me the motivation to, you know, just so that I would know whenever I have nothing left, I still have something left. You know what I mean? And I can't say enough good things about that, about the way they instruct. It was really great. And Echo, I think I got two bullfighting students if you're going to have the bullfighting school. Some guys kind of like me that have some experience and that want to sharpen up. So.
Okay. Yeah, give me a call later and I'll write your names down. That's filling up very fast, actually. I have three written down already from up in this area that want to come down. So.
Okay. Scott, I get to fight all those bulls again at a bullfight this weekend in Fort Gibson.
Oh, so you're heading up to Fort Dixon this weekend, right?
Well, Fort Gibson, Oklahoma.
Gibson.
It's actually
okay.
right down the road from where I'm living now, and it'll be all those same bulls. And me and Anthony are entered, and Hayden, the other student, he's
right.
Entered in it also.
Wow. Good deal. Now, is that a freestyle deal?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Good deal, man. Well, hey, you got to call us back next week when we're back on the ranch and tell us about it, all right?
Yeah, I definitely will. And it's going to be – it's kind of cool for me to be able to be there, you know, with Anthony there and everything.
Yeah.
The fact that he was helping instruct and everything, that's kind of cool.
Right, definitely, man. Well, I got to tell you, Jay, I'm kind of disappointed, man. We haul you out there from North Carolina, you know, meet you down there in Tifton, Georgia. And then bring you back, and of course you go up and load up a U-Haul, and you end up moving back out there, man. What's the deal with that?
Well, I hadn't planned on moving until about January, and all my family's from Oklahoma, and my mom gets wind of this that I'm planning on moving, and she says, pack it up now. Don't save your money. The U-Haul's coming. Go pick it up. Let's go. Get out here. So that's what I did. I think my family was kind of missing me when I was out there in North Carolina. So we're still about 3 hours apart, but she just wanted me closer. And my grandmother now, she lives about 30 minutes away in Missouri.
Gotcha.
So.
Good deal. Well, hey, listen, man, I don't want to cut you off, but we've actually got another caller on the line here that wants to jump on with us. I think you guys might know him, both you and Echo might know of this guy. You know, we were going to talk about him, and of course, we all kind of come up with nicknames, and you know, over the Texas trip itself, you know, I mean, of course, Jay gets old Squeak. This next guy, I really think a good name for him would be Hopalong Hippie. What do you think, Jay? Does that not sound like that other bullfighter that was there with you?
Yeah, or the old man or something. Got them hip injuries, you know?
Oh. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we're talking about the Tennessee Cowboy, and actually we go way back, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. Brady Godsey, you're on the line here, back on the rant.
Hey, Scott, how's it going, buddy?
Good, Brady. How are you?
Doing all right. Can't complain.
Good deal, man. Good deal. Well, we got Echo on the line with us, and then we got that other bullfighter that was out there in Texas with us in Squeak. Hey.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Brady.
Hey.
Now, Brady, how is your hip feeling, first off, man? Because we knew you got it kind of banged up out there that weekend.
It's feeling good. I just had to, you know, it was a little stiff, so I had to work it out a little bit, and everything's good to go and ready to fight the finals this weekend and get in front of them.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, you got a good bullfight coming up. Now, you're going to be doing all protection, but, yeah, you've got a big weekend coming up this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's a finals out in Salina, Tennessee, and I'm ready to fight it and put some of that I learned out there in Texas to work and get it going.
Good deal, man. Well, what did you think about that school? What did you think about the instructors you had there in Jay and Steve?
Oh, man, they were top-notch instructors, no doubt. I've come out there just, you know, wanted to play clean and got everything going, and they taught me more than what I thought I was going to learn, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
So I've had conversations, Scott, with both Jay and Brady since the school got over, and it was interesting to me because Jay, I think, clearly came in with more freestyle experience. Brady, a lot
right.
of protection experience, not a lot of freestyle experience. And they both learned the other side of it. Definitely go hand in hand and make you, you know, one makes you better at the other. And on top of that, what I love about Steve and Jay's school, and I can't say this enough, is how much they teach you about bullfighting as a business and how to make it your career and how to go out there and market yourself. So what do you guys think of that part of it?
I loved it. It was definitely taught me some stuff I didn't know, and it's actually worked, and I've got a few lined up for next year using them techniques.
Yeah, I feel about the same way on that. And Anthony also really helped a lot with the business part of it. And, you know, the things he gave us, you know, that were his tricks and techniques and everything, it was just great all the way around, really. And you know, people always like to separate freestyle and protection. And Jay and Steve have a way of – it's the same exact thing. And if a lot of bullfighters, I think, would get that through their head, they could go down the road and make a whole lot more money and, you know, have a lot more fun also. I mean, because really every – and Brady, you can, you know, vouch for me on this one. Every bull, it was a freestyle bullfight. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, no
I mean, we made the saves, but after that, we were out there, you know, pushing our limits.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Man, I got this guy on here. I don't know. Did you pay somebody to get on there and kind of talk a little bit of good stuff about you or something? Because this guy, Adam Weta from Wichita, Kansas, wanted me to get on and tell you hi.
Really?
You paid him, man. What's going on with this deal?
I have no idea. Honestly.
Yeah.
I ain't talked to anybody from Kansas in over 6 months except for my mother. So.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like we need to start up a Jay Brainerd fan page on Facebook or something.
Tell us. The kid's got his own website, and we're promoting it on MakingEight.com, you know. You what, man? He's getting pretty popular, and I think once they get out there and see him do some more freestyle or even protection, really for that matter, because the guy really did learn so much. And I know one thing: if I had to be out there in that arena, I'd want either Brady or Jay for sure, because both of them are good hands out there.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, I do want to say I have to like just saying that you know Anthony helped a whole lot. And I want to give him a big thanks because I smoked for 6 years before I come to this school, and you know, I went down there, and the last day I lit up a cigarette in front of Anthony, and he told me, you know, no more. If you're serious about this, you need to do your job and be serious about it all the way or nothing. And, you know, after I left the arena that day, I haven't picked up another cigarette since, so.
Good for you, man.
I'm glad to hear that, Brady. I actually witnessed that happen, and that was good stuff. And I'm glad that you really did decide to give that up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, it was definitely a life-changing experience.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because Echo Sharky, she told me the night before that school it was going to change my life, and she was right. It changed the way I think about everything, from the stuff I learned from Gary, you know, because I was sneaking in there to watch video with the Bull Riders after we got done with video, and just from what I learned from Gary and Steve, and it really did change how I look at everything.
Gary's motivational speech, man, that was just absolutely awesome. For my mental status, man, it was just awesome.
I've always said that the coolest thing about Gary's inspirational speech is that you don't have to be a bull rider to have it change your life. It's like anything that you do, you can apply it. It doesn't matter what.
Yeah. There's no doubt, Echo, and I could be an example of that as well, because I come out of there fired up and ready to go with what we're doing with Making Eight just because of hearing his, you know.
Well, Scott, me and you, on the way down there, we got to listening to one of those CDs of his,
right.
And shoot, we were up how long? I was up 28 hours total.
Yeah,
and I blamed
I
the last, like, 8 or 10 hours on Gary because we got to listen to that.
we had a lot of fun, man. I was so daggone worn out when we got out there. I couldn't even make it the whole first day. I was in the back of the trailer, passed out, man, in tears because I had a headache so bad. But that was just from lack of sleep, man. We ended up catching up, making up for the second and third day, though, for sure. Say Gary even had me up there working on the drop barrel and the stationary barrel. It was good times for sure.
So yep, you know, Gary's in technique, and you know what he teaches those guys technically. If you think that he can't teach guys how to ride bulls, you guys talked earlier about Pendleton. I didn't get on right away, Scott, because I couldn't get to where I could. But I know you guys talked about Pendleton Roundup.
Huh?
The guy that won the bull riding there, Travis Atkinson,
right.
One of Gary's students.
Very
came in
nice.
He got second in the average, one of Gary's students.
Yep.
Chance Smart ended up third in the average, I believe. He hasn't come to one of Gary's schools, but he travels with Kanan, and Kanan showed him some things. Gary looked at some video, and Kanan showed him some things, that Gary had taught him.
Right.
So,
well, now
again, results speak for themselves. I mean, those were the top three bull riders.
another one there that was in the top five was J.W. Harris, and his brother was just out there in Graham, Texas with us.
Yep.
So,
Cody.
I mean, you know, Cody, that's right, Cody. You talk about a quiet guy, though. Man, I don't think that guy said five words the whole time he was there all week.
He stayed with me. I don't think he stayed said five words.
That's exactly, man. He is just a real quiet guy. He really is. He really is. It's great talking with him, though. And, of course, I do most of the talking, but, you know, it was fun. We had a good time with it out there. And
Echo,
I'm kind of disappointed, though. I don't see those pictures up on the on the Gary LaFue Bull Riding School website now.
The picture from the school?
Yeah.
The pictures that you put up?
Yeah.
All right, I'll get him put up there. Sorry, I've been busy. I've been planning
I'm
that.
I'm saying, you know, you got that good-looking guy up there with Cody Custer. You got that great-looking guy up there with Jay Brewer, you know, and then you got the whole class up there. What more do you need, you know?
I know. I'm just pouting again because I wasn't in there.
Oh, I understand.
No, I'll get him put up. I just, you know, Gary and I are really, really excited about this because, you know, Gary does schools all over the place. People, you know, hire him to come in and teach schools, and he did a school in Pendleton, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
But he does schools at his house, as a matter of fact. There's a school going on there right now out at his ranch. But he told me when we started up this Facebook thing, he said, let's try to schedule a few more schools. And We have this one, I mean, it's definitely the ball rolling in Oklahoma. We're talking about Florida in March, which you and I need to talk about. And
right.
At some point this spring, I think we're going to be coming to Tennessee. So.
Good
and
deal.
I can't forget Nebraska in May. You guys should all try to come to the school here. It's the original.
Podium
original.
Nebraska, and we're staying at Echo Sharky's place. Let's go.
Absolutely. One year.
Hey, Jay,
I told you that first year.
Hey, Jay,
I told you what happened to me the first year.
No.
Yeah. Well, I had four bullfighters and two bull riders come from South Dakota that I'd never met. Called me and couldn't get a hotel room. And now they're just like family to me. Absolutely. Yeah, we're all one big family.
Well, that's what we had. We had guys. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we had guys out there in Texas that were the same way. They were coming in saying, hey, we don't have a place to stay. I was like, hey, find a spot, man. We'll slide over. You can bunk up with us. Ain't no big deal, you know?
Yep. I got a big house and lots of room. And so, yeah, you guys can definitely stay with me when you come up. But you do have to come visit the middle of nowhere.
All right on. Hey. Jay, what do you think about this, man? We'll swing over to Oklahoma, pick you up, then we'll swing back over to Tennessee, then we'll head up there to Podunk, Nebraska. You talking about a road trip? We'll have some fun.
Hey, now that I'm living where I am, you got to give a couple days so we can get out on the lake and have a good time, too.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll pick up Brady, and we'll spend a couple days out there at your place, then we'll head up there to Podunk, Nebraska.
Yeah, buddy.
There you go. And there's a lot of bulls around this area and everything, a lot of bull ridings and stuff too. So heck, maybe we can hit up the lake, hit up rodeo, leave.
Yeah, for
go
sure.
Do it somewhere else.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you this right now, Jay. I'm not doing all the driving like I did this last time.
I offered so many times, and you know what? Me and you are still the only ones that drove pretty much the whole trip. I think, didn't Ricky end up driving a little?
He did. Maybe very nervous, but he did. He was wandering all over the river. And then we ended up getting hit after leaving. We didn't even get out of Texas yet. We had some guy run off into our trailer. I'm telling you, it was a wild road trip. We had a good time, though.
Yeah, and we couldn't really tell if he hit us, and all we had to do is ask the two guys that were laying in the back. Yeah, you sure did. I saw it.
I got to tease Ricky a little bit here. I think out of all the bull riders and bullfighters that went to that school, he gets the bravery award for me for taking his cute little girlfriend along.
Oh, you
that was a bad idea. That was a very bad idea.
No, wait a second. Ricky knew going into this deal that she was the only one that was going to be riding with a bunch of cowboys down there to Texas, and it was going to be one heck of a long trip. But you know what?
That girl,
she held her own. She held her own.
Oh, she is a cowgirl, yeah. You didn't hear one peep from her about complaining about anything.
Nope.
I mean, she just, it wasn't her first rodeo. I mean, I guess technically it was on the road, but you wouldn't know it. She was pretty cool about everything.
Hey Jay, I got some other guys here that are popping up on my Facebook asking me why we even let you sit up at the grown up table.
I don't know, man.
I still ask myself that.
I ain't ever gonna grow up, so I don't know.
you tell him Jay's only little on the outside.
Yeah, well.
My first impression of Jay was, oh, he's cute.
Hey, it's the size of the fucking
kid.
Dog.
Such a cute little kid.
Okay.
I thought he was 12, and then he said he was 24. I was like, oh, good Lord.
That'll be good.
All right, guys.
Some of the freestyle bullfights I do, like Dwayne's deals, the FFB and stuff, they have actually announced me as being a good, 6 years younger than I am. I think it's good publicity that I look that young, so they just go ahead and stick like a, you know, he's 18 or he's 17.
Right.
You know? I don't say nothing about it. I mean, I might as well be.
Yeah, no doubt, man, no doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's a good thing we didn't get pulled over because we didn't have a car seat for you.
That's below the belt right there.
No, Jay. Hey, listen, man, we had one of the best times out there with you, and, you know, I even learned from you, man, just being able to sit back and talk with you a little bit. You know, talk just how you treat yourself, man. I got a lot more respect for you now, and you definitely have a lot of heart at it, man. So keep it up, man. Let me know how you do this weekend.
All right, will do.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, listen, man, we are fresh out of time, so we're going to let everybody go. But, Jay, we want to thank you for being on here with us, and we look forward to having you back on, as always, brother.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Jay, take care.
Okay.
Bye. All right there, Mr. Brady, the old Tennessee man. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you tell your mama that I said go Gators, because she knows exactly what I'm talking about there. And she's listening in, you know. And you know what's really funny, Echo? Brady and I actually go way back. I used to rodeo with his brother. Yeah, I used to rodeo with his brother. His mom. And Brady used to be at the rodeos that I was at as well. We crossed so many paths. We were at so many different daggone rodeos together, it wasn't even funny. Matter of fact, his mom even thinks that she's got me on video at a couple of events up there in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, rodeo is a small world.
It really is. Never put two and two together, but you talk about a great family, and, you know, of course, his mom is one of a kind out there. She really does a lot for him, and, of course, the rodeo, you know, what they do in rodeo, and, you know, I was really glad that she was able to get Brady out there because I know that he picked up a lot. You know, look forward to seeing him up and down that rodeo real quick.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, and I thank you, Scott, for, you know, promoting that deal and putting it out there so, you know, we could find it and I could get a hold of everybody and go out there.
Oh, well, shoot, man. It's just all part of the deal. It's all part of the deal, you know. We believe in something what's that?
Yeah, I have to back him up there. I don't think we could have made that school in Texas work without your help, Scott, without the help of making eight.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, we're just glad to be a part of it in any way we could, and look forward to doing more work with you guys because it was just we had so much fun.
Yep.
All right. Well,
listen,
Brady. Yeah, that's for sure. But, Brady, make sure you tell your mother we said hey, and tell Brandon we said hi, and you know, like I said, tell him, you know, don't cry too much over the Gator chomp there.
All right, I'll tell him. You know, that don't hurt my feelings, man. I'm a Bama fan, so.
Oh, I know, man. That's even worse, buddy. But, hey, listen, good luck this weekend. Good luck this weekend at the finals, and give us a call next week and tell us how you do.
All righty, buddy. Good talking to you.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
All right. Thanks for having
me. All right, Miss Echo. Well, hey, listen, I appreciate you jumping on with us, and, you know, we look forward to talking a lot more with you, and we'll have you more on talking about the upcoming events with Gary. And I want to thank you for what you did in putting things together with us and making it happen so we could be out there and work with Gary ourselves because we really learned a lot from him and had a great time.
Yep, that's what it's all about. We'll keep him coming. As long as we get students, we'll keep the schools rolling. So.
Yes, ma'am, that's right. Well, we're going to keep on keeping on, so we'll get it done.
All right.
All right, darling. Have a good night. We'll stay in touch.
You too. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Well, rodeo fans, that's going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and look forward to having y'all catch us next week, next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll send out the reminders. Y'all get a grip until then. Get explosive with MakingEight.com.
Got bucked off and stalled in Albuquerque tonight. And all the money I left.
Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin8 is a winner.